Okay, let me ask you an easy question. What year was Tsongkhapa born?
16.
What year? 16 what? Are you sure 16 or 14? Huh? Oh, 自动瞬间眼睛啊，对那节日就中了什么哈过来，过落落落多啊。 When did you join Dharma? About 6-7 months ago, huh? Fat monk? Fat monk was a monk. Oh, very good. 1357, very, very good. Even I didn't know. I knew it was somewhere around 1400. 1600? I think Tsongkhapa Fat Monk was born that time. TC. Let me ask you another real easy question. Why is this hat yellow? Tsongkhapa hat yellow. Why? Wrong answer, you get 3 more questions. You wanted to drive here. Why? Because he spilled mustard on it? What? Kasa. What did he say?
Penetrate.
Penetrate what? When anybody asks you who your guru, just say Karmapa. Oh, yo. Or say Dalai Lama or somebody that they can handle you. You don't say it's me, please lah. I've got enough bad reputation. It's yellow, you know why? Because they ran out of red. See? He went to the clubs all day round, they said yellow, that's it, honey. So Tsongkhapa says, pack it up. Oh, I got a new victim. Finally! I love it. Alright. Shall we or shall we not? Let me throw a divination. If it falls here, yes. If here, no. Oh, it's yes. The gods want me to ask you a question. Was Buddha a boy or a girl? Did you hear that, Chia? It's your lucky day. Chia. You made him real happy. On a relative level, he was male. Hello. Chia was real happy. Jeez. She was trying to be deep and, meditative, neither. Never mind. Come on, anybody has questions? You lost a lot of weight, huh? What happened? Been doing cardio?
No.
What's your secret? Can you tell me, please?
You
what?
Getting fired at the company.
Employed. Oh, I've been employed by the monastery. I got fatter. I don't know what happened. Maybe I ought to work for your company. I could lose weight. This guy lost a lot of weight. Look. What, about 6-7 kgs, huh? 8, yeah, look more. No fair. God, I run and jog and run and jog all day long. I put on more weight. Jeez. I'm 89.9 kgs. I was 87 last week. No, 88. I put on 1.9. What a heart attack. God. What's so funny, Angel? May you gain my weight. I'm not evil. I'm an evil MC. Come on, no questions. Everybody knows anything. Smaple, what are you hiding back there for? Any questions? You sure? Your Christmas pudding was not bad. It blew up in my microwave. I put it on too long. But I could still eat it. It was okay. Maple brought me a Christmas pudding back from England. And that helped me put on the 1.9 kgs. I ate the whole thing. I almost ate the paper too because it was so good. Yep. So nobody has any Dharma questions. I guess we can end it here, huh? Everybody knows everything. Come on, hello? Somebody ask somebody. Once somebody starts, everybody else starts. Come on, somebody be the brave victim. Come on. Okay, we sit here and look at each other. Let's all look at Rod Stewart. Let's all stare at her. Okay. Yeah, caught.
So I was asking myself, I do not have them. But after a while,
you look like a Halloween mask when you said that.
Mm-hmm. Think about it, it's quite true. Because when you give it like this, you can see yourself there. So what you meant by is what comes along goes on.
No.
Actually, what you're saying is something more of a reflection of oneself. What you notice about other people is innately what you really are. So the things that disturb you, no, the things that disturb you more is what you will notice about other people more. So that can be that you are, it can be that you are not, but that's what disturbs you. But that's not what I mean by what goes around comes around. What I mean by that is when you do something like that, you actually collect a mental imprint, a karma, that at the correct time, it will ripen back upon you. It's actually a storage of energy that will ripen back. What you're saying, what I'm saying, is slightly different but related. Quite related.
So, if someone stabs you from the back, many times, let it go.
If someone stabs you from the back, they say nasty, they do this and blah, blah, blah. If, first of all, you think to yourself, if I was to clarify myself, will it make a difference? If it will make a difference, you go ahead and do it. If you think to yourself, if I'm going to clarify myself, and it's not going to make a difference, leave it. Now, if you, it's going to make a difference, the second thing you must check is, what's your motivation for doing this? Am I going to do it to get them back? Or am I, and if you do do it to get them back, you're the same as them. Or am I going to do it to clarify and not get them back? My motivation is not getting them back. So if it's not getting them back and you clarify yourself with the motivation that it will help them, it's all right. You don't sit there and just let people step all over you. His Holiness the Dalai Lama once said during the teaching that if you're running down an alley or, no, if you're walking down a street and someone attacks you and wants to hurt you and they want to stab you, you don't let them stand there and say, oh, I'm a Buddhist, you know, stab me, I'm a Bodhisattva, I've taken Bodhisattva vows, stab me, you know, kill me, in my case, rape me, whatever, you know. You don't stand there and do that, you fight it off. But once you get the knife back, you fight it off, you don't stab them back, you don't hurt them back. You report them to the proper authorities. There's nothing un-Buddhist, there's nothing unspiritual, and there's nothing unreligious about that. You don't run around the streets with your bag open, oh, take everything, I'm a Bodhisattva. Well, unless you're Kong, but never mind. You know, it's different. So what I'm trying to say is this, is you can fight back, but fight has a negative connotation in English. You can defend yourself and you can explain yourself, but make sure the motivation is not to do it the way they did it to you. If you do it back the way they did it to you, you become them. Simultaneously, you become the karma. Simultaneously, along with that, what happens is this, you create a type of karma that you reinforce that action. You reinforce it again and again and again and again until that action becomes very, very strong, very, very powerful, and it's very hard to cut. The reasons why we take vows, the reasons why we make promises to our teachers and to the Buddhas, is to cut away at reinforcements. The things that we have reinforced in doing that are negative, we cut it by making vows. We cut it by making promises to the three jewels. Do you understand that? That's a good question. Questions? Any questions? Oh yes, of course. It's very interesting.
Because of all that, so I'm now reading the book. I'm just reading. That's it. Enough.
I'm so moved. I thought there was going to be a long sing-along song and dance, but it's like... It sure is. I'm glad your story's short too. I'm leaving the company. Why do I feel sad? But never mind. Never mind, you'll start your own company, become really rich, and we're going to run away to the Caribbean together. Yeah, we're going to run away. All first class, we're going to run away. You're going to buy me a house on the Caribbean. I'm going to hang out there with my big Buddha statues, make offerings with my golden bronze body. And you're going to be some corner running around with some native in the jungle, catching fish and doing other nasty things. It's okay, congratulations. Couldn't you see us running around the Caribbean with my golden bronze body with no love handles? Keep dreaming, I know.
Yeah, yep. We'll probably be on some boat made from reeds, sailing away with an SOS sign. Jeez, TC. Come on, any questions, anybody? Illumina? No questions, don't be shy. She or me? Both of us. How do we promote good imprints? That's very good. That's an excellent question. Pacha. The imprints in Tibetan, you will say pacha. Pacha is imprints. Now, number one, you need to identify. You need to identify the imprint. Number two, you need to know that that imprint creates negative actions. Three, you need to know that there is methods to cut those imprints. Four, application of those methods. Mm. Now, there are many, many ways to cut imprints. If you wish to cut an imprint that leaves you in suffering in samsara, if you wish to cut an imprint that leaves you suffering in samsara, in order to cut that imprint, not only can you apply the methods and know what to do, you need to also have the collection of merits in order to support the practice of cutting off those imprints. Sonam. So, if you do not have the merits accumulated from practice to support the practice to cut off those imprints, then even application and knowing the methods will be futile, will be useless. So the collection of merits is very, very important for cutting off negative habituations or imprints. One of the best ways for doing that is on an immediate level for people who are not initiated. On an immediate level is the four types of the preliminary practices, okay, which will be mandala offerings, prostrations, Vajrasattva's mantra, guru yoga, mandala offerings. Those preliminary practices are especially designed in order to cut away at negative imprints, and it's very unique because they cut at the same time they collect the merit to give you the power to cut. It's like it's a knife with a sharpener, as opposed to a knife that becomes dull after a while. So the sharpener is the collection of merits. One. Two is to engage in some type of meditational sadhana. If you engage in any type of meditational sadhana, example, if your yidam is, your meditational deity is Avalokiteshvara Chenezik, or Nyesun Kundro, we received that, right? Example, if your meditational deity is Nyesun Kundro, or your meditational deity is Lama Tsongkhapa or whatever. In the case of an initiate, you would visualize yourself in the form of a deity, and the reality around you is the reality of a deity. All that you perceive is that of a deity. If you do that, you collect a positive and very, very powerful imprint, cutting off previous habituation and implanting the seeds in order that you become Avalokiteshvara in the future. So, sadhana, dake, in Tibetan we say sadhana is dake. Da means oneself, ke means to grow or to transform or to change. So, dake means self-transformation. Self-transformation from that of a negative, unhappy, controlled, subjugated, karmically inflicted person that is stuck in suffering and samsara and ignorance, transform into a person who is bright, clear, with wisdom, compassion, and in short, one that becomes a Buddha. In this case, Buddha Avalokiteshvara or Chenezik or Kuan Yin. So when you do a sadhana, the process of the sadhana is actually to transform you from that of an ordinary person into that of a fully enlightened being. So every time you do the sadhana, you do it well. You do it correctly. Conjoined with holding the vows and commitments along with it, you'll get one step closer and closer and closer. The transformation will change. And in fact, when you do your sadhanas very, very, very well,
transforming one's mind becomes effortless. Very effortless. Why? Some people know a lot of Dharma, but their actions do not reflect their knowledge. Some people know very little Dharma, but they can apply it in such a way that they look like they know a lot of Dharma, but they don't. Why? Because knowledge of the Dharma is not enough in bringing the result. You need merits. Without the collection of merits, simply applying methods of Dharma, you will not get any results. It's like a cook who knows the ingredients of a food and what to do, or a chef that just copies, takes things and throws things in a pot and cooks it. He doesn't know the timing, he doesn't know the season, he doesn't know the heat, he doesn't know anything what to put in to make it delicious. So, the collection of merit is extremely, extremely important. And then some people have said, well, Christians will always try to convert people and say the more they convert, it will bring them closer to heaven. And at the same time, they save the other person. Isn't that a selfish attitude? In Buddhism, it's always, why don't you do things for the sake of doing it for the other person? Why do you keep doing it for the sake of collection of merit so that you can become a Buddha and you can be free from samsara and suffering? People have come up with that question, and I think it's a very good question. Why do you always think about collecting merits? Why do Buddhists always say merit, 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 merit? Why don't you just do it? Then I say that's very true, but don't stop there. You don't collect merits for the sake of collecting merit. You don't stop there. Simjin tamjin ki den juba di chirdu. For the sake of all sentient beings, I will engage in a practice, this sadhana, this practice, or this item. So what you're doing is, you're not collecting karma for yourself. For yourself to be free. You're collecting karma in order to gain the ability to be of the utmost benefit for others. But in the process, as a byproduct, you yourself, even without wanting it, become free of suffering and samsara. You yourself become a Buddha as a byproduct. So you don't do good things and positive things and practices and meditations for the sake of yourself being free from suffering. It doesn't stop there. Yes, I want to collect merit. We'll say in Tibetan very easily, make some offerings, you'll collect merit. It's said like that, but with the understanding that, no, the merit is not collected for yourself. The merit is collected that you may become a position, be within a position to be of even more benefit to others. Does everybody understand that? To be of more benefit to others. That is why you collect merit. It isn't just collect merit, then I'll be happy. If you have a lot of merit, you have a lot of good karma, you get good food, yes, you will. You get friends, yes, you will. You will get money, you will get all these things because these things are based on merit. Yes, you will. But that's not the reason why you get it. It's a side product. That's it. Example, some girls may wash their hair and make it shiny and long and attractive so that when you walk down the street in the sunlight, it catches, some guy sees them and, you know, they can attract them. Yes, but a side product is they don't get like lice. It doesn't smell. Diseases don't come. The skin doesn't crack because it's dirty. You know, that's a side product. They may not think about that, but that's a side product. Similarly, you don't collect merit that you can be free from samsara or sufferings. That's not the reason why you're collecting merit. The reason why you are collecting merit is simplified form of saying with the understanding that I wish to become a fully enlightened being. I wish to be in a position that I'm qualified to be a benefit to others. That is why I will do this action. Everything else comes along as a side product. Does everybody understand that point? See, I stress these points all the time. I will stress it for the rest of my life if I give Dharma talks all the time. Some of you may think, doesn't he have anything else to talk about? I may or may not, doesn't really matter. But for some people, they've heard it. They don't practice it. I need to say it again and again and again to remind them until the day they actually practice it. For some, they have not heard it. So if you are practicing it perfectly, you can be bored in hearing it again and again. If you are not practicing it perfectly, you should listen to it again and again and think deeply, why? And examine why I'm not practicing it. So some people may think, oh, this Rinpoche, all he ever talks about is self-transformation. He doesn't give any initiations, he doesn't do any rituals, he doesn't do anything fancy, you know. He doesn't jump up and down, nothing. He doesn't wear weird clothes and run around and give us a show like they do in the Himalayas. So boring. He doesn't even chant and throw some rice on us, nothing. Well, sorry, wrong picture show. My hang-up is this. All that doesn't matter if you don't understand these basics. If these basics are not understood and practiced, what's the point of going to different types of Buddhism, different realms? What's the point of doing elaborate rituals? To tell you all the truth, elaborate rituals, long pujas, initiations, all that, they bore me silly. Why? I've been doing them for years and years, attending, receiving, giving for many, 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 many years. You don't see transformation in people. You don't see a change in people. Some people even run around saying, oh, I've received so many X number of initiations, I'm better than you. So for me, initiations and all those rituals and all those practices are of no benefit if you don't understand the subtleties of karma, if you don't understand the reason why we attend the Dharma, if you don't understand why we want the Dharma, why we're practicing the Dharma. If you can understand that, and you actually practice the cause and effect karma, you practice that. You practice the practices of regret. And then you do one simple sadhana, one simple meditational practice every day, you will see more results than if you do 100 meditational practices. The foundation is there. It's like trying to build 100 houses. Come, come. Hi, come, come, come in, come in, come in. And I thought I was late. Come on in. Hello, hello. It's okay. Bribery will get you everywhere. Thank you, thank you. Come on in. Thank you. Is that for me or Buddha? Half, half. Give it to me. Yeah, I don't want the answer. No, it's a trick question. Oh, thank you. How nice. Thank you. Wow. Is there any money inside? Oh, it's a bird. I'm just kidding. This is my hairstylist. This is the reason why I may be ugly or beautiful today. This is Freddie and Daphne. Thank you, thank you. And that concludes our Dharma talk. Let's do our dedication. Oh, sorry. Oh, touche. This is Kating Rinpoche from Ganden Monastery. This is Geshe Punso Dorji. And this is Gen Losang Wangchuk. I've known these guys. I've known him for many, many years, but this is a chicken. He's very young. He's a chicken Rinpoche. He's 26. And so when I entered the monastery, he was an egg. So, which came first, but in this case, the egg came first. So Rinpoche here is very, very young, very humble, and he works very, very hard for Ganden Monastery. Very, very hard. He's running around making communication, talking and stuff. And he's one of these Rinpoches that actually do not manifest teaching. What he does is he works for the Sangha very, very hard in the circles. So whenever Geraldine goes to India to do anything in the monastery, Rinpoche helps her very much. And he's so humble that he helps her. And also, all our pujas that all of you guys do all the time, nonstop, Margaret. Oh, God, the monastery can retire on Margaret's puja. She's so kind. All the pujas must go through Rinpoche. Rinpoche actually arranges for people with trucks to go to Hubli, which is a nearby city. They have to go from the village 1 to 1.5 hours to the city to buy huge amounts of vegetables to feed 1,300 monks, fruits, butter, salt, etc., and come back on a huge truck. Lori sumina nina. Two lorries, huge. Cart the food back. He'll personally go and buy it, bring it back with assistance, and then he arranged for the monastery to have it cut and prepared and cooked for the monks. He'll write out all the offerings. He'll get all the money, prepare to break it down into small amounts to completely make offerings to the monks. And take pictures and send it back to make sure the puja is done. So he's been doing this for us for many, many years. So I thought I'd bring him here as a little vacation. And Geshe Punso has received his Geshe degree. He's a fully qualified Geshe, which is a doctorate or PhD in Buddhism. All right? He's been studying for 20 plus years in a monastery, longer than I've been alive. Yeah, he's been studying many years. And he not only that, he's also gone to the Tantric Monastery of Gyume, Upper Tantric College, to study 1 year of Tantra and rituals. So he's very, very good in rituals. And I've known him for over 10 years. He's the guy I drag all over when I go here in India, there. You know, I want to go here. He's one of these guys that sit there, do his prayers all the time, say, let's go have fun. He looked at the first time we were friends, he looked at me like, but you know how I changed him after a while. So I've known he's been one of my best friends for many, many years. This guy also, he came from Tibet. Took him 19 days. This is a fast one. Took him 19 days to cross the mountain from Tibet over the Himalayas into Nepal. They walked. You know, walked. No airplanes, no Rod Stewart, nothing. They actually... Don't you love her hair? Isn't she great? Doesn't she look like Rod Stewart? She's great, huh? Anyways, he walked across the mountains, came into Nepal. From there, he went to refugee camps and came down to South India. So I met him like about 8-9 years ago. He's been my very, very good friend. And he's also working in the monastery and studying at the same time. So I have a lot of friends there, but these are some of my closer friends. And I decided just to bring him to Malaysia for a visit because it's such a very beautiful and very wonderful country. And it's my home and I want them to see where I'm living. And my inner motivation is they go back there and tell the abbots that I'm a good boy. And I get a good report into the monastery and I don't get ejected. You know what I mean? All right, so these three are here visiting with us. And they're going to be going back on Monday. And some of you have been making offerings of food and dana and donations, whatever, toward their visit. I want to thank you very, very, very much. All right? And yeah, that's these three guys. So what were we talking about just now? Huh? Imprints. Any questions on that? Any questions on imprints?
Can you explain
innate imprints? Innate imprint is something like... good night. Innate imprint is something that has been with you for a very, very long time. It is not something that comes as a result of imprint. It is something that has been there for many, many, many aeons. Example of an innate imprint is ignorance. Another innate imprint is anger. Another innate imprint is desire. So those kind of imprints are very deep and they're very basic and they're the roots of the other imprints. So if you cut them off, the symptomatic signs of those will be gone. So innate imprints are the basic three in the center, in the center of the samsaric wheel, represented by the chicken, the kasa, pig and snake. Innate. Anger, desire, ignorance. Yes, these three. Questions? That's very good. Almost had me stumped, but anyways. Chicken. No, I got an extra one. Chicken, pig, and snake. We put a peacock in there. A fall. But somebody will know the meaning behind that. I won't look in their direction. Oh, acquired imprint is something like imprint that is innate. From the innate imprint of not destroying that, you make other imprints as a result of that. Example, if you're very angersome and you have a habit of being angry and not destroying that imprint, another result of that anger may manifest. Some people manifest anger in never speaking to you again. Some people manifest an anger in scolding you. So when they scold, and that becomes a habit, and if they do it again and again and again as a manifestation of the innate imprint, that becomes an acquired imprint. It is an imprint that's acquired as a result of the innate imprint. Questions? No more toughies from advanced Dharma students. Jeez. I want simple ones. Hey, that's pretty good, huh? When would Tsongkhapa Bonshi know? I'm very happy. You read his biography, huh? Must read at least once every 3 months. Yeah, know it well. It'd be your Bible. Very good. I'm very, very happy. No joke, I'm very happy. I'm going to give you a present.
Don't be greedy.
Yabu do jer and she namta yabu lo do ako.
There yabu do. Very good. I'm very. That makes me really excited and happy.
Questions? Come on, Freddie. Now is your chance.
He needs to visit your salon now.
Daphne, questions? Come on. Just when you have the chance, you blank out. Hey, Rod, what happened? Nothing? How about you? Calvin, no questions? You know everything.
Wow. It sounds like I don't care. That's why I don't have any questions. Weird.
What about the king of atmosphere? Any questions? Nothing? You know everything too, huh? Nobody's gonna care. Come on, just ask it. You know everything too, huh? No. Okay, we'll talk about something.